Eat, Drink, Indie Radio is powered by EatDrinkIndie.com. Eat local, drink local, eat, drink, indie. Welcome to Eat, Drink, Indie Radio on WFYI HD To The Point. I'm your host, Jolene Ketzenberger. We are coming to you from the intersection of art and food today, and it's definitely a fascinating location. We'll find out what happens when an artist and a chef work together to create a meal that spotlights both the food and the ceramic pieces on which the food is served. We'll hear about the collaboration between Chef Alan Sternberg of Cerulean in Indianapolis and ceramic artist Tim Compton of the Indianapolis Art Center, who have been working for months now on a unique dinner. The multi-course meal features plates, bowls, and other serving pieces that Tim has designed specifically for each dish, and attendees even get to take the place settings home. It's been an interesting collaboration between a chef and an artist, and they explain what's been challenging and inspiring about the effort. We'll also hear more about the chef's Common House pop-up dinner series that he created with his wife, Audra Sternberg. So stay with us for more here on Eat, Drink, Indie Radio on WFYI and WFYI.org. Today's show about the collaboration between Chef Alan Sternberg and ceramic artist Tim Compton really began back in April during a First Friday event in an artist's studio in the Murphy Building in Fountain Square. I noticed some very cool ceramic pieces, a whole table set with these unique plates and cups and bowls. One in particular caught my eye, a beautiful blue bowl, and I could just see some sort of gorgeous food in that eye-catching bowl. I asked the artist, Tim Compton, if he'd be into a chef using his serving pieces for a special dinner. And the very next morning, I asked Chef Alan Sternberg of Cerulean if he was interested in creating a dinner using Tim's pieces. Happily, they were both excited by the idea. And so we launched into a 6-month process of Tim and Alan working together. Tim making the plates and bowls and cups, and Alan designing dishes to be served in them. Alan and his wife Audra created a pop-up event as part of their Common House dinner series, a special dinner that would feature numerous courses presented on Tim's serving pieces. And what was even cooler is that diners would get to keep a place setting. It's been a fascinating intersection of food and art, and I talked with Alan and Tim just prior to the actual dinner about what it was like to create this one-of-a-kind event. Alan, tell me just a little bit about yourself and what you do at Cerulean and with the Common House, the pop-up series.
So I am the chef at Cerulean, Indianapolis. I have been there 3.5 years or so. We try to work with a lot of local producers, a lot of local farmers and whatnot to really be true to what Indiana gives us and make the best food possible. At Common House, it's a pop-up with my wife, Audra. We, one Sunday a month, give or take, we try to, you know, create an event for a day, a small group of people, 20 to 24 people, and really try to push ourselves. We always have a theme to the thing, and we just want to do things that are fun, and we might not be able to do day-to-day at the restaurant, but, you know, we really want to continue to grow and motivate ourselves to keep pushing forward.
Now, Tim, tell me what you do. You're with the Indianapolis Art Center.
Yeah, so what I primarily focus on day-to-day is actually the programming that we offer to primarily adults is my focus. So looking at all the different art media that we offer, glassblowing, ceramics, all those different studios, and making sure that we're offering a great spectrum of classes. And that also helps to inform my art outside of the Art Center, where I primarily focus on ceramics, but again, trying to get into, like Alan said, trying to be creative, trying to get outside of the norm and explore new ideas.
So this upcoming dinner is an interesting collaboration. There'll be a multi-course dinner that Alan and Tim, you have both been involved in. So let's talk a little bit about how you have each been working on creating this dinner. Tim, let's start with you, because this all started with place settings. So talk a little bit about how you approach the design of a plate or a serving piece and kind of how this all started.
Yeah, so I make sort of decorative functional work, and I've always just made pots, more or less, from an artist standpoint. So I'm looking at it, and based on the aesthetics of the piece and what I want the piece to look like. And while I've always made dinner settings and functional work, I've never had everyone kind of sit down around the piece and really focus on using it. There are all of our dishes at home we use on a daily basis, but that's not in the same formal sense that a restaurant utilizes a dish and the way that a chef really thinks about that piece as a canvas for the presentation of the food. So I was really excited to take on this challenge, more or less, of working with a chef to design dishes that are actually relevant to the food that's being served on them. So just kind of taking it out of the pure aesthetic and putting that functional aspect, which dishes are made for, into consideration as part of the making process.
So the functionality of the pieces has probably been a very key thing in the design, I would imagine, in thinking about how they're actually going to be used.
Yeah, so that is something that I've always loosely considered, but I've always taken sort of the aesthetic approach to things. Without getting too much down into the details, a really great example is that a bowl that I would have made previously would have sat on a very small foot, and it would have been quite tippy, and that was one of the first things that Alan mentioned about the piece, is that if someone were actually using that, it would be more likely to fall over. And so my work has changed drastically throughout the process as I've learned more about how people use those pieces and thought critically about how I can improve the piece for daily use.
Well, now, Alan, talk about your first reactions to the idea of working with a ceramic artist to create, who would create the serving pieces for a meal that you would create. I mean, you were very excited right off the bat.
Yeah, of course. Because it's continuing the story. We are somewhat limited in what we can do. I can only buy the plates that I have, or I can only buy the plates that are available to me. So the idea of like starting this process right from the very beginning and really kind of dragging it through to, how that affects the way we conceptualize a dish and then ultimately serve the dish was a really exciting proposition for me. And I realized it was probably about a week and a half ago when you dropped off most of the samples, that I realized I had never had a input on a whole place setting before, like a whole several course collection. And it really was a collection, and it was quite clear that it was. And that, to me, was really exciting to really sit down and start thinking about that in the sense of a meal, because so much of what I do is typically just about the food. And to be able to start thinking about, all right, we want this. There's two or three pieces that are a little less functional for, day-to-day use, but they're very specific for this dinner that are really exciting to me to be able to put food in, to be able to look at, to be able to hand to a guest. So
this all started, Tim, you brought a variety of serving pieces to a coffee shop. And so over coffee, you and Alan looked at them, you talked about them. What was your reaction to having someone look at your pieces and pick them up and think about how they would actually be used?
Yeah, so Alan has been offering what I would consider sort of unbelievable insight from a chef's perspective throughout the entire process. And so it started, like you said, on day one, where all of a sudden I'm getting this feedback about these dishes, and someone that considers so heavily how they're going to be used, how they're going to be presented. I think probably the most valuable insight for me actually also happened about 2 weeks ago, where you were all of a sudden talking about your favorite plate and sort of the attributes that you look for in that. And that was an eye-opening experience for me. That changed the way that I looked at plates and pretty much every other dish in the series. And so it kind of made me go back and kind of rethink and retool. And it's resulted in some work that I'm really proud of, because all of a sudden it's something that a chef might actually want to use.
So, Alan, talk a little bit about the when you first saw the dishes, and you homed in on that sort of a light blue dish, and you could see a particular type of food in that.
Yeah, so it was a blue bowl, and it was kind of a high-walled, angular bowl, and it had a couple frills on the outside, almost like a wave, And you know, it was a blue. I don't know how you would describe the blue in particular, but it very much seemed like almost like an ocean vortex. I know that seems kind of strange to say, but immediately I thought, you know, raw fish needs to be in that, because of the color choice, because of the aesthetic of it. It seemed to make sense to that dish. So I mean, that was kind of the first jumping off point, I think, was that bowl.
Tim, what was that like? Was that a surprise to you? Had you imagined that particular dish being used in that particular way?
Actually, I'd always thought of that as a ramen bowl. So that was actually really insightful. And it's one of those where, you know, you don't really fully understand your preconceived notions until they're challenged. And so that's a great way to sum up kind of this entire process, is that I think, you know, I thought I've been making great plates this whole time, and they were great from a more of a rugged standpoint, but they weren't necessarily the best serving surface for a variety of different things. And so just kind of facing those realities and the way that I perceive everything has been really enlightening, because the minute you start to see someone else's perspective, it starts to open your mind, and that gets the gears turning, and that really influences the artistic process.
So, Alan, talk a little bit about how your inspiration for the type of meal came about, multi-courses, and what the inspiration was going to be.
So typically with Common House, we do 9 to 13 courses, depending on the theme, depending on how motivated I am. So the idea of a course dinner was very familiar with me. And at the restaurant, we do a 10-course tasting menu, so the idea of a progression makes a lot of sense. You don't have to put down a ton of food on each course, but you get a whole story, basically. And with this, it seemed, you know, so much of the character of the plateware, of the place setting, was this natural theme. So my mind jumped to kaiseki, which is a Japanese formal service that always includes elements of nature. So that was kind of my jumping off point with that. And I think the whole key for this whole project has been kind of the balance back and forth. You know, some things that Tim seemed to stress over, I'm just like, no, it's fine. And he's like, oh my God, I'm so happy to hear that. And it's just been, and I kind of approach the food the exact same way. It's like, you know, I don't want to do anything that detracts from the place setting. I want it to be in balance. I want it to be in harmony and really kind of have that yin and yang effect when you're eating, and realize that, you know, the thought started way before we started planning the menu. The thought started months ahead of time. And, you know, Tim's done an amazing amount of work and really kind of a short amount of time on my end of things. Like, I'm, you know, I feel bad because it's like, man, my food's perishable. So, like, I don't have to do this work months ahead of time. And, you know, but now we're kind of down to that grind, so.
Well, now, Tim, talk about the process. This has been a months-long process.
Yeah, so we've been working on it for about 6 months, and that includes brainstorming and prototyping. And then once you get through prototyping, you can start to look at different colors. So with ceramics, you focus a lot on the form of the piece, and then you start to consider sort of the colors, the surface, the luster. Do you want a shiny surface? Do you want a matte surface? All of those things affect the way that the food is perceived when it's presented. And so they all need to be sort of carefully considered. But given the nature of ceramics, there are multiple steps throughout the entire process. So there's the making process with the wet clay, and then it goes through several heating phases, and then you add that color towards the end. So there is a lot of prototyping and decision-making that goes into the earlier stages, but then you get into sort of that hardcore production at time when, you know, you're cranking out 30 to 40 pieces to make sure that you have enough for each person.
We've been talking with Chef Alan Sternberg and ceramic artist Tim Compton. We'll be right back with more here on Eat, Drink, Indie Radio on WFYI and WFYI.org. Like for a chef to work with a ceramic artist, and for the artist to design dishes for a chef to actually use? Well, that's what Chef Alan Sternberg of Cerulean and ceramic artist Tim Compton of the Indianapolis Art Center found out when they collaborated on a special dinner.
the dinner called Earth to Table, part of the Common House pop-up dinner series by Alan and Audra Sternberg, features 9 courses all presented on unique serving pieces that Tim has designed. I followed their collaborative process, which included the chef visiting Tim's ceramic studio and the artist stopping by Alan's restaurant kitchen. Alan, what was it like for you stepping into Tim's studio? This process has involved you visiting the Indianapolis Art Center. Tim has come to Cerulean Restaurant. What was it like for you to see his, from his perspective, his process, his equipment, that sort of thing?
I think it helped connect me to everything, because it's not dissimilar to my world. You know, I start thinking about dishes weeks ahead of time, and then you got to go through and you got to figure out how it's all going to come together. And then ultimately you're down to production. You know, the day-to-day restaurant runs off of repeating the same process over and over again, and trying to be consistent and trying to not mess it up and trying to, you know, not burn things or not whatever. And so it made the two worlds kind of come together a lot, or a lot closer in my mind.
So, Tim, what did you think about when, you know, when you walked into Alan's kitchen at the restaurant, and you had a considerable discussion about plates over, you know, right there in the midst of things?
The first thing I thought is all of his equipment is a lot cleaner and a lot shinier than mine. But yeah, once we got down to talking about plates, you know, he had a great selection of different shapes, sizes, surfaces to choose from there. And that was kind of the conversation that really helped me to hone in on particularly the dinner plate that we're making for this specific dinner. I was kind of at a loss and trying to figure out, you know, what's he going to prefer versus what's going to fit in with the style of the other dishes, because we were considering this kind of as a whole, all the different courses and the artwork as a whole. But it was really good to see kind of what he would plate on what plate and what he would look for in that plate, and have that conversation. And, you know, in the context of the kitchen, you're also looking at all the different equipment that plate has to be able to go through. So considering the dishwasher and considering spacing it out on the line before it goes out for service, all of those things are important factors that need to be considered.
Talk a little bit about the specific dishes that the meal will encompass. How many again is it going to be?
From a ceramic standpoint, there are 9 courses. One of them actually has sort of 2 different interlocking pieces. So there's about 10 different ceramics sets that people are going to experience. And there's 20 people that will be attending the dinner. So we've been making a pretty good number of dishes.
So that's a lot of dishes.
That's a lot of dishes. But like Alan said, you know, we've kind of tried to consider how the food would be presented on each dish. So there are varying sizes, varying colors, shapes. Pretty much everything is completely different from step to step.
So, Alan, what do you think about when you're thinking about a dish and what ideally a dish would be like? Because this is, you've been able to sort of be more involved in the process of a dish rather than just picking one out. You've been involved in the creation of it to fit certain types of food.
So with this project, it's been a little bit different. You know, there's some brighter colors than I typically get to work with. There's Tim's motivation behind each dish, and he provided me a nice little list of where the inspiration for different things came from. He's also applied several different techniques that I knew nothing about at the beginning of this, so it's been fun to experience that and actually be able to handle the difference in each one of those and be able to tangibly see how they're different. So all that's definitely gone into the concept of menu development and affected, you know, the way we do things and the way we want to present on that. We want to be reflective of that motivation to be unified in vision, because we want the food to accent the plate and we want the plate to accent the food. Additionally, I think the theme of having this, you know, kaiseki inspired meal, because I'm definitely not qualified to do a true kaiseki dinner, but I can do food that's close and pays respect to it. I think it gave us a nice little rubric on, you know, we need these kinds of dishes. You know, we need a steam dish. We need a raw fish dish. We need these things. And it kind of gave us this jumping off point to be able to experience some of this together. And we both did some independent research to really figure out the way things should lay out. And you know, I think the actual progression of the dishes is going to be a little bit different than Tim originally conceived. And that's fine, because that's that balance between his vision and mine, and just trying to be true to ourselves, to the land, to the product, to, you know, the food, the ceramic process, all these things, and just trying to be very simple and make sure that everything is delicious.
And delicious and beautiful, right?
Yeah.
So, Tim, talk a little bit about the design of some of the dishes. There's a couple of very unusual pieces that are sort of a stage for a dish.
Yeah, so I think most people that have seen my work have described it as sort of florally inspired or naturally inspired. There's a lot of waves and curls and points and things like that. So I tried to carry that inspiration throughout the majority of the work. There's a lot of sort of asymmetry. It's not just circle plates, and I really wanted to make kind of a conscious effort to pull away from the circle plate in this event, because we had that opportunity to kind of individualize things, to do things that a machine can't do, because all these dishes were made by hand. So that was a really strong influence on the design of the pieces. Like Alan said, there's a lot of different colors, a lot of different textures, a lot of different surfaces. And I'm excited to see kind of how he rises to the challenge of all those different looks to kind of incorporate the food with the dish. But we did try to do some dishes that were larger and kind of more of a stage for the piece. I've used the word stage a lot actually when describing these, because I think that the dish is sort of that stage or that pedestal that the food is presented on. And so I did feel a bit of a responsibility to make sure that it wasn't so overpowering that it sort of overpowered the presentation of the food. And so, you know, when it's a more complex form, we've gone with a more subtle color. When it's a simpler form, we've gone with a brighter color, so that there's a bit of that balance there.
So what kind of colors are you using?
We've got everything from a butter yellow to a satin white to a bright red to a shiny yellow. There's a range. Yeah, there's a rust color in there somewhere. It's going to be exciting to see each dish come out, and each one is distinctly different from the one that comes before it. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Now, Alan, did you design the food to complement the colors, or did the colors complement the food, or which came first?
A little bit of both. I definitely think there's again, some collaboration in all of that. We talked about colors on some things. There's the dish that has a bright pop of red. I know Tim was kind of milling back and forth on what color the inside should be, and I was like, "Yeah, let's do that. Like, it'll be great." Because I'm either going to do something with squid ink or vegetable ash or something that is going to give it a dark hue that'll really, you know, contrast the red. So being able to think about food in, you know, the color palette is something I try to do a good amount. I don't want to be too monochromatic with my food, because it's not visually interesting. It doesn't draw you in the way that, you know, that contrast does. So some of that's definitely been in play. I think my favorite dish is the custard cup, and the whole, because of the whole process behind it. And
we'll talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So Alan wanted to do a small custard cup, and I had the opportunity through the Art Center to do what's called a wood-fired process. So all the pieces are heated up to pretty extreme temperatures, well over 2,000 degrees. But the big difference with this custard cup is that it's actually heated entirely with wood. So we start with a small bonfire, and about 24 hours later, there's a 4-foot flame shooting out the top of a 20-foot chimney. So it's a pretty extreme process. We add wood about every 5 minutes.
For 24 hours,
for
right?
For 24 hours, yeah. So it's a bit of a marathon. So there's a lot of love that went into those cups to get them to the point that they are. But the cool thing about it is that every single piece comes out individually. Not a single one of those cups, even though they were all sitting on the same shelf next to each other, looks exactly the same. So every person that comes to the dinner is going to get an individual cup that isn't going to be like any other cup that's in the room. So that's a really, really neat sort of novelty about those pieces. But that particular process is something that I'm incredibly passionate about, and that, you know, when you put that kind of time and energy into something, you're bound to love the pieces that come out of it no matter what.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you said the minerals in the wood actually burn off, and that's what forms the glaze on each piece. And, you know, they're beautiful. There's some different texture depending on how much of this, that, the other got on each one. And it's a very unique feel and look. And I think it'll be fun to set that down in front of someone.
We've been talking with ceramic artist Tim Compton of the Indianapolis Art Center and Chef Alan Sternberg of Cerulean Restaurant and the Common House Pop-Up Dinner Series. For more on Common House and for photos of the upcoming dinner, look for it on Facebook and Instagram. And check out TR Compton Ceramics on Instagram as well. We certainly talk with more chefs than artists here on Eat, Drink, Indie Radio, but we often see the intersection of food and art. For ceramic artist Tim Compton of the Indianapolis Art Center, food intersects with art every day. His nature-inspired serving pieces, as beautiful as they are meant to be used. Food is meant to be eaten from the unique, often whimsical plates, bowls, and other pieces he creates. Recently, he's been collaborating on a special dinner with Chef Alan Sternberg of Cerulean in Indianapolis, in which his ceramic pieces share the spotlight with the chef's food. I talked with Tim recently about his work, and as it turns out, his connection with food is a natural.
A lot of people is that I make decorative functional work, which is kind of that little asterisk off to the side there. But some items that I make are not necessarily the most practical, but the goal is to kind of make the user think about how that piece of equipment is interacting with the activity that they're doing. So.
For example.
Yeah, if it's at a dinner setting, you know, the bowl might not be perfectly round-shaped. It might have lobes to it or something that can maybe interrupt the use of with the utensil. I make a lot of mugs that are out of the round shape, and for a lot of people, that's really unusual to drink out of something that's not perfectly round because
That's sort of unusual. That, you know, that's something that, you know, we take for granted when we pick up a glass or a cup and it's going to be round.
Yeah, and a mug is an incredibly intimate item to use. You know, you're actually putting it in your mouth. And so that is on a very personal level with a lot of people. And so when it's become something that's a little bit uncomfortable, it's very much something that they notice.
Oh, no, I hadn't thought about that. But it is. It is an intimate sort of thing. And actually, you know, food is you know, a very intimate thing. A meal is very intimate. So describe a little bit more some of the serving pieces. One that caught my eye at a recent show was a bowl, but it wasn't exactly bowl-shaped.
Yeah, so that was sort of a triangulated bowl, and it had sort of a sweeping curve across the rim, as well as a texture on the inside. So all of those are things that are going to affect the way that somebody eats out of that bowl and maybe make them consider how they're consuming that item or maybe a little bit uncomfortable while they're consuming that item and make them sort of enjoy that experience and think about it a little bit more.
Well, now talk about being uncomfortable and yet enjoying the experience more.
Exactly.
How does that work?
Yeah, that's always the balance. You know, you don't want to – I did make a series of work that was sort of over the line as far as that uncomfort level, and then people end up shying away from it. One of my favorite things to do is to put a variety of dishes in front of people and let them make choices, and it's always interesting to hear why they choose one item over the other. But there is a level of comfort and familiarity that needs to be associated with a dish as well, because you don't want to take it so far that they're preoccupied with it and it detracts from the actual meal. So it's a striking a balance with a lot of that kind of stuff. But the idea is that the dish will enhance the meal, to enhance the experience, to make it more memorable. And I think the successful work that walks that line and does that is really the work that I'm the most proud of. One of my favorite things to do is have imagery or items that are almost discovered as the food is consumed.
You mean the things that are underneath the food?
Exactly.
As part of the plate or
yeah,
piece?
So then as they're eating that, they're discovering more about what that dish is and kind of what's there. And so it's always interesting. Every once in a while, I'll get somebody that will flip a dish over after they're done eating out of it, which is I always consider sort of the biggest compliment because they're so curious about the piece that they're eating out of that they've been thinking about it as they've been eating that food. And they're going to remember that meal and they're going to remember that time and probably conversations that were happening around that time. And all of it works together to kind of enhance the experience.
Now, I do remember dining at a restaurant one time and having coffee after my dinner, and I had a lovely dessert. But the handle of the coffee mug just didn't work for me. And so I spent the whole time when I should have been enjoying my dessert and thinking about the delicious dessert, sort of awkward with my cup of coffee. I couldn't pick it up without burning my fingers, and then I couldn't just grab it without the handle because it didn't work that way. So I spent the whole dessert time fidgeting with my coffee cup, and it really was very distracting. And I remember this like 5 years later.
I was going to say, it seemed to be a noteworthy experience.
Yes, so it can make a difference. It really can.
Absolutely.
But you want people to notice the
exactly.
serving pieces.
Hopefully they notice the pleasant surprises, not so much the unpleasant surprises. So, but that goes back to what I was saying as far as kind of walking that line and trying to think of different aspects when making art that people will find really unique and interesting. One of my favorite things to do, and I picked this up from a couple different ceramic artists, is to put a design on the bottom of a coffee mug. Because oftentimes when you're sitting across from somebody, if you're drinking out of that coffee mug and there's, you know, a pleasant surprise on the bottom, the person across from them will see it. And that can also add
fun.
To conversation.
I would see it, but you wouldn't as you were drinking it.
Exactly. So then that can add to the conversation and the experience as well.
Now, so the idea for the what we're going to talk about here, it stemmed from seeing some of your work, you know, set out on a table, and then the idea kind of came up as about, well, what if you worked with a chef to create the dishes around the food, to create the food around the dishes? So tell me a little bit about that idea.
For me, that idea really spawned from the sense of my family, and we always sat down and had dinner together. And so the dishes, both the food dishes and the physical dishes, were a pretty integral part of all of that. And so I've always designed ceramic work in sets of six, as I come from a family of six. And it allowed me to kind of relate back to that, but it always seemed a little bit empty when it was presented in the gallery, where it didn't have that food, it didn't have people sitting around it. And so that's kind of always been my goal, is to collaborate with a chef and come up with dishes that respond to the ceramic dishes, and then get people around that to kind of complete the entire idea. And I think that's really, for me, where the art comes from, is the art side of that is the experience that people have interacting with all of those different things.
So you are working on a collaborative dinner with Chef Alan Sternberg of Cerulean and his Common House series of pop-ups. We've talked with Alan here before, here on Eat, Drink, Indie Radio, about Common House. So what is that like to sort of envision a dinner with your serving pieces as a centerpiece?
Well, interestingly, the whole idea and the concept behind it is about the experience for the person that comes to the dinner. But the conversations that go into that are all equally as important as the conversation that's had the night of. So it's been a lot of back and forth, and, you know, he approaches things with certain expectations and I approach things with certain expectations. And it's about sort of meeting in the middle and finding the common ground, and really me taking a step back and saying, I want these to accentuate the food, and him taking a step back and saying, well, I want people to notice the ceramic. So I love doing collaborative work. It always helps to see someone else's impression of the things that you see on a daily basis, and to really see items through new eyes. It's a great opportunity to grow, and it's something that's been really fun and I found really enriching.
Now, how would you go about creating a serving piece to highlight a particular type of food? You know, what goes into your thoughts?
A lot of times it does revolve around that conversation. So, for instance, if you were making a bowl for a fish dish, perhaps, you might think about where does that fish come from. That fish comes from water. That could affect your color palette for the particular piece. When talking about presentation of the food, you want to consider sort of the margins, the space around the food, and how somebody might use that to present a piece, or if it's too much space, it might make the amount of food look small. So a lot of really kind of technical stuff goes into the considerations of that, but it is important to kind of bring in that artistic side and start to consider color, texture, any sort of pattern, and how that could react with the food that's being presented. You know, if it's a soup that's sort of a very creamy soup that doesn't have a lot going on, you can get away with a little bit more texture on a dish. Whereas if it's separate items presented, it can get incredibly busy if you have too much going on.
Now, what about color? Talk a little bit about that and your pieces and what they look like.
So getting away from the traditional white dish, I use a lot of earth tones. I do a lot of different firing techniques, which is sort of the finishing process of the ceramic piece, that use natural elements. I do a lot of what's called wood firing, which is where you heat up the work entirely with wood. It's a little bit more labor-intensive process. But the wood, actually, the ash that burns off of that is all the minerals that tree sucked up while it was alive, and those become the glassy surface on the finished ceramic. So you get a really natural, earthy-looking surface going on with those pieces. And because it's a directional application, you start to get different patterns that happen with that flame as it moves through the kiln. So you get a little bit unpredictability, but it's always really interesting and surprising to see the results that come out of a wood kiln. And I love doing that surface on my work. And I love being able to have that element surprise throughout the process.
Have you always been into food? You know, it seems like, you know, as someone who creates dishware might naturally be into that sort of thing. Are you?
Actually, I originally, when I was going into college, I originally applied to culinary schools, and I was set to go to culinary school. But the ones that I was applying to were just too expensive. And so at the last minute, I changed my mind, and I'd taken a couple of ceramics classes actually in high school. That was when I really started to click into art, and so I ended up going to school for art. So yeah, food has always been a really big part of my life.
So when we think about food, do we think about it as art? You know, should we think about it as art, or does that get a little too precious for someone who makes pieces that are meant to be used, maybe?
Well, I think that's one of the things that I really love about the interaction of food and ceramics, is that in the same way that food walks that line between art and nourishment, ceramics walks that line between a craft and a tool and art. And so I feel like it's really easy to carry that dialogue all the way through the dish and the food. And yeah, there are a lot of people that have ceramic pieces that they never use. They just sit up on the shelf and they feel it's too precious to use. And that's not really what that piece was probably made for. And so in my house, we have a lot of different pieces, and if they break, the lifespan of that piece is done, and at least it was appreciated and used while it was all in one piece. So I think food kind of walks that same line.
We've been talking with ceramic artist Tim Compton of the Indianapolis Art Center. Look for him on Facebook and follow TR Compton Ceramics on Instagram. You can safely say that there has never been a better time to dine out in Indianapolis than right now. The city and its chefs and restaurants are getting national attention, and here locally, diners have more restaurant choices than ever before. They also have new options for special dining events, like pop-up dinners from local chefs. These one-time dinners often feature a specific theme or take place in an unusual space or include out-of-town chefs. The idea in all of these cases is to offer the diner a unique experience. To that end, local chef Alan Sternberg of Cerulean Restaurant in Indianapolis, a 2016 James Beard Award semifinalist for Rising Star Chef of the Year, along with his wife, Audra, have created a pop-up dinner series called Common House. I talked with Alan and Audra about coming up with the Common House concept and what diners can expect at a Common House event.
last year I got a couple opportunities to go travel around a good bit and cook around the country. And by around the country, I mean like 4 or 5 states.
Right.
But more than I had before. I got to meet some really cool people and, you know, got to see some different things. And I think there's a level of excitement when new things come about or when you just don't have the expectation and then you stumble upon them. There's always something rewarding.
So you cooked at the James Beard House in New York City. You did some dinners in other states with other chefs.
Yeah.
And that makes a difference?
It totally does. Each new place you cook in has their own challenges. And trying to figure out the best way to work with those challenges and not knowing the equipment, not knowing the people you're cooking with, and trying to collaborate amongst yourselves and seeing different perspectives, you know. And I think so much of the time I get focused on my perspective because that's the only perspective I know. But, like, when you start to see other people's perspectives, it kind of just says, oh, man, we should take a step back and look at a bigger picture here.
You know, how they do things and their point of view, that sort of thing?
Yeah, for sure. And so one of those epiphanies was in St. Louis. Some of the chefs there were kind of stirring the pot a little bit by doing these dinner series outside of the restaurants and really kind of challenging the status quo. And I mean, St. Louis has a great food scene, but it just kind of dawned on me as like, I felt like I was waiting for people to ask me too much instead of going and doing on my own and realizing how much fun I could just have.
Creating a special series of dinners on your own.
Yeah. You know, I love what I do at the restaurant and it's definitely my main focus. But there's things I can't do there because, you know, our restaurant has 100 seats and,
sure,
you know, there's P&Ls we have to be accountable for. And, you know, once we remove some of those constraints, it kind of frees me up quite a bit to experiment and play and really kind of grow for me instead of, you know, just for the restaurant.
So how would a pop-up dinner series help you do that? What's freeing about that?
I'm not really accountable to anything as long as I don't lose money. I mean, Audra and I kind of agreed from day one is, you know, this isn't really about making money. This is about, you know, covering our costs at most, really.
And growth, personal growth?
Yeah. I mean, Audra's been a lot more involved in the restaurant lately, and, you know, we saw it as a way for us to work together and to grow both as a couple and professionally. And
well, Audra, tell me what it's been like creating or helping to create a new pop-up dinner series.
Oh, man. First of all, it's just exciting to do it with your husband.
So exciting.
It's fun to watch him get excited in a different way than just day to day from the restaurant. And that it's contagious. And so I get to see more of what he does in a different level and work with him. And it's just brought us closer in a different way. I mean, we work at the restaurant together, but this is more about being creative with him.
So now tell me about the first one the first dinner that you held. Where was that? How was that?
So it was at Wildwood Market in Fountain Square. And it's a very small place. So if you've ever been there, it's a very small market. So we had to basically create a dining room because there's shelves everywhere now. So we made a very intimate dining feeling of it. You know, when you walk in, there's just one giant table and it was very communal. So everybody sat around talking. You could be right there with them through the whole dinner. There was Alan. I was right there. And you got to just look around at each face and see everyone having a really good time. That's what is special.
So what was the reaction? The first one is certainly sold out, right?
It felt like you went to dinner at someone's home. It felt like you were at a friend's house. People were sharing stories, talking across the table. We had a farmer there that we were using their meat, Becker, Kyle Becker. So he could tell stories about his animals. You know, they got to ask questions. it was a mixed bag of people, but everyone found something to talk about, and that was really special.
So now, where's the dinner series going from here? You have another one coming up very soon, right?
Yeah, so the next one's the 19th of February. Sold out, and it's going to be at the Plow and Anchor, or formerly Plow and Anchor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are trying to keep these really small. I would much rather add a second day than add lots more seats.
So how large is it?
So this one's going to be 18. The first one was 16, right? The wild one was 16. And need to say a quick thank you to Craig and his wife for letting us use their fabulous little store. But Plow and Anchor is going to be 18. The theme's roots. You know, we're trying to put a theme to every dinner, and we're not trying to take it too serious. There's definitely some more abstract ideas coming down the line as we kind of build some trust and build some faith with our clientele. And you know, we just want to have fun. You know, that's what it's all about, is creating a small, intimate setting where people can come, relax, and enjoy themselves, and, you know, share in our story and to tell them a story. And, you know, food's my medium for pretty much everything in life. I'm way more social on a plate than I am in person. And
that's an interesting concept. So people will get some understanding of you as a person from your food.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where it stemmed from. You know, I was looking to have fun and really push myself this year, and not having the constraints of a restaurant, kind of, it is very liberating. The first one was very liberating. And you know, our theme then was a market, because we were going to be doing a dinner in a market. Like Audra said, Kyle Becker was there. It was my first farmer I ever worked with in Muncie.
Oh, that's very cool.
And he's coming to this next one. And, you know, he just sent me a text the other day. He's like, what do you need for the dinner? And so, like, that relationship still grows. And it's been ultimately really rewarding to be able to do this on my own and to do it with Audra. And you know, Caleb's been really supportive. My boss at the restaurant, you know, it's not a conflict for us. It's a continuation of what we preach at the restaurant about community and joy and personal growth. So it still works in a really nice way.
And now tell me how a pop-up series works, kind of the nuts and bolts of it. It's a ticketed event, right? And people sign up ahead of time.
Yeah. So right now we're just using Eventbrite. We looked at a couple different places as far as how we could sell tickets to the event. And Eventbrite was the most user-friendly for us.
Mm-hmm. So people can go online and look for it?
Yep. We just started a mailing list, an email list. So we can announce. We're not going to announce a dinner until the day after we're done with one,
right?
Because I think we sell a dinner short if we try to conceive too far ahead.
So that you can experience the one that you're into at the moment, right?
And you know, it comes down to the whole: if I plan something 6 months from now, and hopefully I'm in a way better place than I was. You know, hopefully I'm doing better stuff, and my level of thinking is at least marginally better.
So it would be completely different then.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's, you know, I look through my old books and my notebooks, and I just look at some of the ideas. I'm like, what was I thinking?
so you can see your progression.
Yeah. I mean, I do that with the menus too. You know, between the restaurant and different events and, you know, looking back through Instagram or Facebook or whatever, I'm just like, ugh. A lot of cringeworthy moments for myself there.
So what about, this seems to be part of growing the infrastructure that you talked about, developing the dining public, kind of bringing them along with you. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, we talked fairly recently about, you know, the city has grown so much. And, you know, I feel like in a way we've all kind of pat ourselves on the back and said, you know, we're there. And
we have gotten a lot of attention lately.
We have got a lot of attention. And I think part of being there is continuing to go and continuing to push and not, you know, relish in that victory, but at the same time set new goals. And for me, this was setting a new goal, you know, a new year, new goal. And so far, I mean, we've been able to accomplish a lot in really a short amount of time. And I want to keep that going. I don't want to ever fall down. I'm going to fall down, but I don't want to get burnt out and slow down and not want to push and not want to keep getting better. You know, if I can do one little thing better each day, you know, over a lifetime, I'm going to be pretty good at something.
Now, Audra, tell me about where people can find out some more information about Common House, maybe a few details, or sign up for your newsletter.
So you can go to commonhouseindy.com. Right on the front page is a mailing list. You can just type your email in there, and we will be sending out an email probably the day after this upcoming dinner about the next dinner. So that'll give you an option to buy tickets. We have an Eventbrite page as well, which is linked through our website. We are on Instagram, we're on Facebook and Twitter, just Common House Indy.
We've been talking with Alan and Audra Sternberg of Common House, a new pop-up dinner series in Indianapolis. For more information, check out commonhouseindy.com or look for it on Facebook. I'm Jolene Ketzenberger, and you've been listening to Eat, Drink, Indy Radio on WFYI HD2 The Point. Thank you so much for tuning in to our food and art collaboration, and thanks also to our guests, ceramic artist Tim Compton of the Indianapolis Art Center, and Alan and Audra Sternberg of Cerulean Restaurant in Indianapolis and Common House, a pop-up dinner series. And thanks also to producer John Ketzenberger for helping to bring you Eat, Drink, Indy Radio. Eat, Drink, Indy Radio is powered by EatDrinkIndy.com. Eat local, drink local, eat, drink, Indy.